Blog Talk Radio.
And now it's time for the Saturday Spotlight with your host, Jeffrey Rochelle.
Well, good evening, good evening, good evening. Is this thing on? Because, man, man, tonight, OMG. Man, tonight, tonight, tonight. I got to always say tonight, tonight, tonight. Tonight, tonight, tonight. Man, OMG. A little brother is over here like, what is going on? What is going on? But in spite of, welcome to a late edition, 45-minute edition, and I'm going to get, I guess, Speaker LaVon on here because she, you know, she got to get in the bed. I got to get in the bed, too. Welcome to a special 45-minute show of the Saturday Spotlight tonight. Tonight, we talk to author LaVon Barber, my girl from the west side of the shy. LaVon is no stranger to the Saturday Spotlight. She's been on here before, and I'm excited about having her on. She just, every time I talk to LaVon or see when I saw LaVon at the Chicago Urban Book Expo when I first met her face to face. First met her face to face the year I was there selling books. And then the following previous year, I think 2 years or so ago, I seen her again. But every time I see LaVon, her spirit is just so warm, genuine, and I affectionately call her my author sister. So I'm happy to bring on tonight author LaVon Barber, my author sister from the west side. So my normal listeners, Honey Thomas, Audrey Smiles, if y'all can clock in or call in or whatever y'all do and listen to this Saturday Spotlight episode for 45 minutes of your time, I appreciate it. So let's kick it off with this week. As you guys know, I buried my grandmother this week, and I hadn't seen my grandmother in years. So once the funeral was at the church on Tuesday, when I got a chance to see my grandmother in the casket, it took a lot out of me. I just was a ball of tears. Like, I just couldn't keep it together, and the emotion was just over me. And even though she was not, as most of you all know, my real grandmother, she took on the role of being my mother and my uncles and aunts' stepmother when my real grandmother died, when all of them were kids. So my baby aunt got up to speak, and she spoke about how she took on the role of being her mother at 3 years old because my baby aunt was three when my real grandmother passed. So to the grandkids, needless to say, she was like our grandmother, even though she was not our paternal real blood grandmother. She was like our grandmother because our real grandmother had died when all my uncles, aunts, my mother, and them were little kids. But she tried to keep it together because that was the only mother my aunt knew. She didn't know my real grandmother. So she went on to talk about how she made her prom dress and how she did all these other things for her growing up. And my grandmother lost her memory, I want to say maybe 8 or 9 years ago, something like that. So, you know, she already was gone in the mind. And when my aunt and my other aunt, which is an aunt above my baby aunt, went to visit her in Louisiana, she said that when my grandmother came outside, she was like, oh, there's my baby. And my aunt just could not keep it together. She kept crying, but she was like, there's my baby. And it's like, you know, when a person loses their mind, when you're dealing with a person with Alzheimer's, like, it comes and it goes. So needless to say, she kept it together. She was a mess at the mic, but she kept it together. But me, I was a mess because, like I said, my grandmother, from birth to when I used to ride the CTA bus with her, she used to drive the CTA bus when I was getting ready to go to junior high school. I used to get on those rides with her, and she, when she wasn't doing too bad of a route, when she wasn't doing too bad of a route in the city, she would let me ride on the bus with her. So being at her house every Sunday, I would literally go to her house on Sundays because I knew what my mom made for dinner. When I got to my grandmama's house, she would take me to go get what I wanted. So I had one of those grandmamas that was spoiling me. So needless to say, growing up too, I was spoiled. I was her baby. Everywhere she went, she took me with her, and especially on Sundays when I would play that trick like, I'm going to granny house, I ain't going home. Lo and behold, that's where I would be, at my granny's house, and we'd go get McDonald's, pizza, whatever. I didn't have to worry about eating no liver, no greens. I appreciate greens and stuff today, but growing up, I was a McDonald's foodie. I was a pizza, Arnie's pizza, right by the church, a slice and a fry. Had my name on it after services every Sunday. So I would literally go to my granny house just to get away with doing things. But needless to say, we buried her. She's at peace. She's no longer suffering. Like I said, she lost her memory about 8 or 9 years ago. And then it's just like COVID. I think COVID played a part in her, you know, transitioning too. So I just want to say thanks to, again, to everybody for the well wishes, the love, the support, everything that everybody's done to show me love and support the last week and week before. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Also, I just want to say to somebody that has, you know, we kind of talk, I want to say almost every day, or not every day, but every other day. I will say this. For us to connect like we do and talk on Facebook via Messenger, video, it's no mistake about that. I thought about that the other day, and I'm like, you know, God places people in your life for a reason, and people come into your life for a reason. And I look at it like that because it just was a coincidence that they end up losing their grandmother the same time that I lost mine. And I don't take for granted the fact that they came in and was like a shoulder to cry on at that point. And it's just like, it's just, I kind of realized that, like, you meet people for a reason. And generally it's a reason behind it. And whether or not you know it or you find it out or whatever the case may be, I don't take it for granted. So I just want to tell that person, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, because I normally don't, you know, or whatever the case may be, you know, I really think that God did it for a reason. So I'm just going to leave it at that when I say that. What else? This week, found out some interesting news. So we getting ready to renew the grant at my job for another year for my position. I'm kind of happy about it. I love my position. I don't know if y'all know, I work in the HIV/AIDS outreach department, and I love it, knock on wood, and I'm hoping that God leads me when I do have a patient to test positive. But so far, so forth, I have not had anybody to test positive. But y'all will not believe the stories that I hear from people coming in and wanting these rapid HIV/AIDS and STD tests. This one girl that I had Friday, oh, my God, she was talking about how she had been to Atlanta, Louisiana. She was just talking about how she had this one guy. She just had a miscarriage, but she was messing around with this other guy, too. And it's just like we have to put on that poker face, me and my coworkers, when we go to administer these POC, which is point of care HIV tests, but listen to these stories. So I have to get over the hump of when I'm administering this test, which is like a pregnancy test for these people, with a snippet clip of your finger and your blood going into a tube, and we stick it out in the solution. Within 5 minutes, you'll know whether or not you're HIV negative or positive. I have to get over, you guys, to make a long story short, having that poker face and also keeping the machine away from these people to see their results so quick. Because that's all they want to do. It's like we are trained to talk to people while it's going on, but it's like so many people be, okay, this and that, blah, 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 blah. Is it ready? Is it ready? I'm like, no, it's not ready. So I have to put on that poker face, y'all, to just be like, okay, let's not so much dwell on the test so quickly, but, you know, but like I said, needless to say, I have not had a positive result back. And I'm just praying that God leads me when I do, because you people, that's really a lot. But I tell people too, and I know a lot of people don't like to deal with preps, and I talk to gay as well as straight people. If you are out here raw dogging it and you're not using condoms and you're raw dogging and you have not caught HIV, please, please, please consider taking PrEP. I mean, I know people have had a whole stories and this and that about Truvada and all this other stuff, but what do you want something to save you from catching that package before you get it and you have to be on medicine? And I've had adults to come and talk to me and tell me, well, you know, I do what I do, but I'm kind of trying to stay away from that Truvada, this and that, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, why wouldn't you want to get on something to prevent you from catching HIV before you do? And a lot of people are thinking also that this is a gay pill to take or whatever. And it's not. It's not just for gay people. It's for straight people, too. I just said one of the MAs at my job, straight, she was like, I thought it was just for a gay guy. And I'm like, no, Truvada, people take it. It's for everybody. It's if you're out here having unprotected sex and it's preventing you from catching HIV before you do. So my thing is, if you're out here raw dogging it, whether it's you having regular, you know, straight sex, or, you know, you putting lifestyle, this and that, it should say regular sex, whether you're gay or straight, is what I'm trying to say. If you're out here doing that, try, you know, taking PrEP. But needless to say, our numbers is about PrEP. So I like my job. I like interacting with people. But the whole push of PrEP, people are going to take what they want. You can beat it till they black and blue in the face. But, hey, it is what it is. And also, my book, moving on to my book, All Marvin's Children. I am excited. Five books, y'all. Can y'all believe it? I've written 5 books. 2 award winners. 5 books. It should be out no later than a week or so from now. I'm just getting some things together as far as the cover, looking over some stuff within the manuscript, but 5 books, y'all. And I'm excited. I'm ready for COVID to lift so we can get back out here and be doing these book events. Like I said, I was supposed to do the Atlanta Kickback. I'm waiting on that to come back because Austin's going to be hitting these, and LaVonna's tell you too when I bring her on in a minute. Austin's going to be hitting these book events hard because we've been off a whole year without going to any book events. And these book events is like the Soul Train Awards, like going to, you know, the Essence Festival, or going to, you know, just whatever city has a big event. That's what these book events are like for authors. So I'm needless to say, I'm ready to get to the Atlanta Kickback. I'm ready to go to Dallas. I'm ready to go to New York, to the Harlem Book Fair. I'm ready to do these different things. The Chicago Book Expo, shout out to Jessica Watkins, who is on vacation for her birthday somewhere. I don't know where she, but she out there in her swimsuit, her heels, and she getting it in. Jessica Watkins sponsors the Chicago Urban Book Expo. I'm ready to get back out there and do that. I'm ready to get back out and take pictures, kiss babies, talk to people about my book, and make some money. Yes, yes, yes. I'm ready. So you got to have 2 or 3 hustles in this lifestyle right now, in your lifespan, I should say, right now. You got to have 2 or 3 hustles within your lifestyle. I got 2, so it is what it is. But, yeah, so I'm ready to get back out and do these book events to get, you know, get these things going and make some money, too, as well. Okay. So, as always, and let me just mention it because somebody that is critiquing my show wants me to be mentioning certain things. I mean, I'm grateful to them for that, and I'm going to mention it throughout the show before me and LaVon end. But you are listening to the Saturday Spotlight with your host, Jeffrey Rochelle. Every Saturday at 8 p.m., but tonight it's 9 p.m. because he has some technical difficulties, and we're on a little later. But you are listening to the Saturday Spotlight with your boy, Jeffrey Rochelle. Okay. As always, a few sponsors of this show is Pop Culture Popcorn, Mickey's on Stony in Chicago on the southeast side, Raise the Bar in Markham, Illinois, and Beggar's Pizza as well. So, without further ado, because this show is really, really limited tonight with time, and I know LaVon wants to get in the bed, I'm going to bring her on now. We're going to talk to her for the next 20 minutes or so, and then that's going to be it. But Saturday Spotlight, give it up for my girl, Westside's own, LaVon Barber. LaVon, what is going on, sis?
What's good? My condolences to you, bro. My condolences. But everything's fine. Everything's fine on my end. I've been doing a slew of book interviews this week. I got one more next week, and I'm done for a minute, I suppose. But I'm just trying to get out here and grind and rebrand, because I've been slacking on my book work, so trying to get back out there.
Okay. And ain't nothing wrong with that. You a hardworking woman. You got them books out there, them good books at that. Them good books
thank you.
No problem, no problem. So, yeah, definitely. So, for the ones that don't know or may not know who you are, just give us a brief summary of who author LaVon Barber is.
Well, I write what I coined as reality fiction. Each of my books will take you on an experience that either you've experienced yourself or you know somebody that has. It will play out like a movie in your mind. I literally have been writing majority of my life, and it's just my thing. But, you know, Chicago born and bred, I guess that. And I just like to tell stories through my writing.
Okay. And what made you decide to write your very first book? I know I asked that again, but on the first show I had you on, but you know, I got to recap this again, LaVon. So what made you write that first book? What was your inspiration?
My inspiration for my first book, Girlfriends, came from a guy that I used to work with. He and I worked together at Starbucks, and he would tell me stories about how his parents weren't accepting of his lifestyle. He's gay, and he's actually from the Caribbean, and you know how Caribbean people are pertaining to that, and, you know, most people are pertaining to people of that demographic. So I just wanted to give a voice to people like him who felt that they didn't have one, and let them know that regardless of what your sexual orientation is, you know, people are here for you, and you don't have to be ashamed of who you are and what you are and live your life unapologetically. So I just wanted to give a voice to that young girl or to that young boy who was probably going through the same thing that he was.
Awesome, awesome. And out of this span, how many books have you written now? Let the people know.
11.
11. LaVon. Mm-hmm. 11. Good. 11. I'm riding your coattails. 11. 11. Books. 11. 11. 11. Man, I'm riding your coattails. I'm just at 5 now, but 11, sis. 11.
Yeah,
11.
Those characters were talking to me. It was a lot of situations needed to be talked about.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and
that
spanned out 11 books for you. So, has it been an up and down roller coaster? Was it hard, easy?
It's definitely been up and down. I won't necessarily say that it's been hard, but, you know, I think we all writers come to some point where we just feel like we don't want to do it anymore. It's not fun. When I first came into the game in 2014, putting these books out the way that I was, it was fun. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't feel like it was a job. It just felt like, you know, my favorite pastime. When you really enjoy what you're doing, you can do it easily. You know what I mean? But it seemed like the tide of the industry changed and a lot of things started occurring. And it's like, do I even want to do this anymore? You know, sometimes situations will have you feeling like it's not what you're supposed to be doing with your life, or you don't necessarily want to keep giving your all to it because of how fickle the industry is. However, like I said, this is something I've been doing since I was a child, and I know that this was something that I was predestined to do, so I can't slap God in the face by not, you know, pushing through with the talent that he gave me.
Amen. True that. And have you always had the support of your family, friends? Has it been the backlash from that?
You know what? I have more support from people I don't know. I do have a small portion of family and friends that really go hard for me. You know what I mean? So I'm thankful for the ones that do. But for the most part, my readers are my supporters are people I don't know. You know, people want to see you do good. If they don't want to see you do better than them.
Exactly. There you go. And I kind of find that to be true, because I have more support of the people that I don't know. and connect with authors, you know, other authors as yourself too, who has embraced you.
Mm-hmm.
But most people that you don't know, whatever, be the ones that be the biggest supporters in you, and you, that have your back. So definitely.
Yep.
So what you working on now? Yep. What you working
right
on
now,
right now?
I am. I have a couple things that I'm working on, but I got a collaboration that I'm working on with Jay Summers. We're doing a paranormal, but he and I have other products. We have other projects that we're working on separately as well. So one of the books that I started, and it's maybe like 80% done, it's a domestic violence tale that's loosely based off my godmom, who was killed by her baby father. So that's the next book that I plan on putting out. I'm actually reading through it to see what I need to add to it so that I can go ahead and finish it out and get it out to the world. Outside of that, I also plan to pen a spinoff to Girlfriends for my favorite character, Peaches, because she's pretty much jumped in. I put her in so many books since Girlfriends. She just needs her own book at this point. So I'm penning something for her.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Any book events?
I wish. Look, I'm ready to get back out there. You know what I mean? Like,
okay.
I love doing Jessica's events. I'm hoping that she can do something this year that I can get in on. But due to my pregnancy that I'm experiencing right now, I don't think that I'll be traveling too much. Thank you.
Congratulations.
I don't think I'll be traveling. Thank you. I ain't going to be traveling too much, so I need to do something local. But I'm ready for the world to go back to how it was, because I definitely need to get out here in these book streets and do some events.
Okay. Because we've been missing out on that face-to-face contact, LaVon, you know?
I'm trying to tell
talking
you.
Talking to people.
I'm trying to
okay,
tell you.
Okay, talking to people. Interacting
it's
with them.
One
I miss
thing. Okay, it's one thing to do it online, but it's a whole other thing doing it face-to-face. And believe it or not, I'm an introvert, but it's like when I'm at these events, I turn it off and turn it to somebody else. You know, my first two book events probably was kind of like, oh, what am I doing? But I got the hang of it after those two. And I just love the face-to-face contact opposed to over the internet. Like, you really get to see the real side of your readers and meet new readers, so I like that interaction.
Yes. And the last book event that Jessica did, that was nice. The last one you was at that she did, that one was nice. It was really nice. It was better than the one that I was at that year with you. But it was real. I liked that atmosphere, everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
That one was really nice.
COVID just came and put a damper on everything.
Didn't it?
Man.
Okay.
Yes.
It's just like, wow, it's like we've been in a twilight zone.
Yes. So I feel like we're in a Walking Dead right now. Like, what is going on out here?
Okay. Okay. Man. Okay. So, LaVon, I know you always get this question, and this is what I always ask authors that come on. I've not asked you before, but what three tips the one that says, LaVon, you wrote a book. Girl, I want to write a book. Or how do I start writing a book, LaVon? What do I need to do to write that book? What do you tell them? What three steps do you give them to say, okay, this is where you need to go with writing a book?
I always tell them to just write. Don't try to structure. Don't try to do anything. Just get the words out of your mind and get it onto that paper or get it onto your laptop. Just write it. The next thing that they need to do is research the industry that they plan on coming into, you know, whether they want to be independent or whether they want to sign to an independent publisher or try to get in with a big-name publisher. Do your research. Do not be afraid to ask for references for the people that you plan on working with. And the third thing is to create your own lane. Do not try to do what everybody else is doing, because fads change, and sometimes you're not going to be able to keep up with those changes that's occurring, or you're going to be scrambling trying to figure out what to do next because you came in on a wave that wasn't your own. If you create your own wave and ride your own lane, you can always be innovative and do what you want to do, how you want to do it, without trying to do what other people are doing. So those are my three tips, always.
Awesome. Love them. Again, you guys are listening to Saturday Spotlight with your boy Jeff in. Author LeVon Barber on the special show tonight. So keep listening tonight. You're on, like you said again, you're on the Saturday Spotlight with Jeff and author LeVon Barber. So LeVon, any baby names? Have you thought about any baby? What do you know you have now?
So I found out Monday, right? But I just know, you know, what Rudy say on that one. No, it wasn't Rudy. It was Olivia on that one episode of the Cosby Show. I know my body. This a girl. You know what? It's funny. It's funny because, like, I had been going through some issues, some health issues that just popped up out of nowhere. And, you know, I'm a holistic person. I like to take herbs and things of that nature. I like to heal myself instead of doing, you know, the normal things that you have to go to the doctor for as being a female. I don't get sick hardly any of those things, so it's easy for me to maintain a healthy immune system and all of these things. So my body just got to going crazy, and I'm like, okay, what the hell going on? Like, so I go, like, my whole body's being inflamed. They're like, you got carpal tunnel. I'm like, this can't be carpal tunnel. Like, I think it's neuropathy. I think I'm retaining water. I done gained 7 pounds overnight. Like, what's going on here? So I went to the doctor maybe about 3 times before I found out that I was pregnant. And I feel as though this child is a gift from God and from my mother, who passed recently, because I suffer from a condition called PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome, which causes infertility. Mm-hmm. So this is my miracle baby. Like, I never thought that I would be a mother. You know what I mean? Like, I have kids by way of my relationship. I have honorary children, but I never thought that I would have kids of my own. So I feel like I am carrying my mother's spirit in my belly right now.
So,
that reason alone, I know more than likely it's a girl. I know I'm due in my mother's birth month, and I feel that I'm going to have this child on her birthday also. So this is a little girl, and my daughter's name is Michaela Chanel.
Okay. Oh, my God. And, again, condolences to, you know, you losing your mom. I remember when you were going through that little period at that point. So no problem, definitely. But, yes, it you see how God works. Definitely never thought you were going to have kids of your own. And look at you, finna have your own baby. And yes, your mom definitely is living through that spirit of that baby. So yes. Definitely. I'm rooting for your girl.
No, thank you. I appreciate that.
I'm rooting for you.
I need that.
Yes. So, yes, I'm rooting for your baby girl. Definitely. Okay. So what was I gonna ask you? Have you had a chance to talk to our other little crew, Karen, Shoni K?
I haven't really, like, I've been laying low. Like, I'll pop on social media. I'll be chilling, but no, I haven't really spoke to anyone.
I know, it's just like that, everybody's kind of like doing their own thing. Like, I feel like everybody's just like in their own lane doing their own thing, but this is, I've never really, like, hear from, like, normal before, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
One thing about
it's the whole book.
You know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's the whole not being out there doing the book events and stuff.
Right. Yeah. And one thing about it, we all out here working. You know what I mean? Like, we working on our books. We doing all our other ventures and things that we have going on. So you already know when the link up comes, it's going to be a good time anyway.
Oh, you know? Yes. I cannot wait for it. I cannot wait till we link. Man, definitely cannot wait till we leak. Y'all know I ain't got no sense. Definitely. Y'all know I ain't got no sense at all. So I cannot wait till when we link up. Yes. So LeVon, tell people where they can reach you at on social media. Give us all your handles, with all your stuff, your herbs and stuff. You know, y'all, LeVon sells. You still sell those candles and those washes and things?
I do. So that's on a rebrand also. I was in the process of rebranding before I lost my mom, but I'm definitely about to set some time so that I can put some stuff together because I have a couple of new products that I want to introduce. So I'm working on putting all my ducks in a row, you know, getting prepared for this childbirth and all of that stuff. So everything is working its way, but I still think I still take orders from customers that I have or whatever, but I'm definitely in the process of rebranding. I'm working with somebody to get my website up and running so that it could be a one-stop shop. You get my books and my products at one place. So, yeah.
Okay.
I'm trying to make it work.
Oh, yeah.
But people can find me on social media via Facebook, LaVonne the Writer, LeVonne, on Instagram and Twitter. You can find me at LaVonne Wright. And on Clubhouse, I believe my handle is WriterChick831.
Okay. Okay. Awesome. Awesome. How's that working out? I ain't did that yet, the Clubhouse stuff.
You know, I'm loving it. I am one of the moderators in the group True to Urban Lit. And we have a good time. I've learned a lot since I've been on Clubhouse. You know, it's all audio and all that, and it's exclusive to iPhone users. But even with that being said, it's so different for obvious reasons from, you know, Facebook and Instagram and things like that, because you can go into different rooms and, you know, listen in on the topics or join in on the topics. I don't necessarily go into other rooms outside of the club that I moderate in. But the people that we've had come into our club and, you know, drop jewels on us about different aspects of publishing and things of that nature, like, it's been great. I've learned a lot.
Okay. Okay, awesome. Sounds very interesting. I think I'm going to have to check that on now, especially since you're the moderator. I have to come on over there and holler at you.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, we do a lot. They're on right now. They're on right now.
Oh,
on
wow,
Saturdays.
Okay.
We do sensual Saturdays, and we, you know, have erotic poets and people who write erotica come in and share some of their work and stuff with us. We do town halls. You know, we have different authors come in and talk about what they have going on and things like that. So it's been a good experience. I'm kind of glad I got an iPhone right about now, because I would have been missing out on a lot of opportunities had I not, because I had been team Android so long.
Okay. Yes. So when did it open up moderators doing that and all that?
Well, to get on Clubhouse, you have to have an invite. So you can't get on unless somebody invites you into it, right? So a lot of the authors that were moderating with me, well, that I'm moderating with, I met them on Facebook. We have Arthur Robin. We have Nicole Watts. We have Dr. Tanya Tisdale. We have a couple readers that are also on our moderator panel. But it's maybe a good – we have Arthur Shea. It's probably a good 12 of us that moderate in True to Urban Lit. And we go on a lot, and we just have discussions. And we have people sliding through, you know. It's some of the clubs are messy, like Facebook. Ours is not. Ours definitely is not. We're all about each one. We're there to definitely network. We're there to definitely connect with people and to drop jewels on people to help them in their process, as well as taking in that knowledge to help us on our journey. So, I mean, we just recently learned how to get on audiobooks and just different things. Wahida Clark has came through our club and dropped some jewels. Like, it's been a fun ride. But I just got on, and I went into their club and just joined in on a conversation, was asked to be one of the moderators. And it just went from there. Because at one point, you had to keep starting rooms in order to get a moderator position or get a club position. Like, you couldn't just go on Clubhouse and start a book club or any type of club for that matter. Like, you had to do so many rooms before the people on Clubhouse gave you that option to start your own thing on their platform. So that's how we were able to get True to Urban Lit.
Okay. Awesome. Doing big things. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Uh-huh. Right. Well, sis, I thank you for coming on tonight. I'm not going to hold
you. Thank you for having me again.
No problem. I know you want to get some sleep. I know I'm getting a little sleepy too. That's why I was thankful that it let me in. I was thinking it was going to let me do it enough. I'm like, let me get this in. Because I didn't know that if I'm not logged in here, I guess within that time frame, it won't let me in. And that's kind of what happened. I was logging right in at 8 o'clock. And I'm calling and she's saying the show going to start in 15 minutes. And I'm like, no, it's not letting me in. So I just thank you, needless to say, I thank you for your patience, for being on tonight. And congratulations on your new bundle of joy that's coming. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
And I know I'm going to see you. Yep. And I know I'm going to see you at some event pretty soon.
Oh,
once
most
the COVID
definitely.
Lifts.
Most definitely. I'm out here.
I link up. Yes. Yes. And I link up and turn up is definitely going to be real.
It's long overdue.
Right. Okay. All right, LaVon. Well, I thank you again for coming on, ma'am. And I will talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. Have a good night, and thanks again.
You too. Have a good, blessed night.
Bye-bye.
So there you guys have it. Author LaVon Barber, she has 11 books. You can spell that out to look for her as such. Her name is LaVon, LeVonne, and Barber, just like the barber at the barbershop, B-A-R-B-E-R. That is one of my West Side sisters. I have four West Side sisters, Honey Thomas, Karen Lee, Shoni K, and author LaVon Barber that came through tonight. Author LaVon Barber is the author of 11 best-selling books. Check her out. Chicago West Side owned author LaVon Barber. And I love her and all three or four of my other sisters. Well, all four of them. I love all of them. I love all my West Side sisters to death. And they treat me like they little brother whenever we link up. So that link up is definitely going to be real. Definitely going to be real when COVID lifts and gives us the opportunity to get back out and interact with people face to face. All right. Okay, so Saturday Spotlight will not be on next week. We take a break. But the 27th, we come back with author Candy Licker. Candy Licker was supposed to be on a previous show, and she will be on the 27th. So we look forward to talking to and interviewing author Candy Licker. As always, as I tell you every week, have a good rest of your weekend. Have a good week. Health is wealth. Do something to rejuvenate your health. Knock on wood, I just got to make this announcement. I lost, y'all, since I've been keeping up with, you know, eating right and doing things, I weighed myself. And a brother lost 15 pounds. I'm a little happy, I'm on my road back to skinny. No more little thick Jeff. No more little thick Jeff. As I always get, Jeff, yes, so little and thick. No more little thick Jeff. It's going to be skinny Jeff after a while. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, as always, health is wealth. Do something for your health. If it's not 15, 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes, whatever, so forth, whatever it may be, do something for your health. I plan on having on the show Atlanta's own Mr. Cardio Jam himself, DeMarco Williams, to talk about ways and tips to keep yourself healthy and keep yourself fit. So, I plan on talking to ATL's own Cardio Jam, Mr. Cardio Jam himself, DeMarco Williams, pretty soon. All right, so with that being said, the only thing in what you do for Christ is what always will last. I will talk to you guys on the 27th. Have a good rest of your weekend and a good week. And thanks again for tuning in to the Saturday Spotlight. With your boy, your favorite, your guy. That's E-R-Y, not R-E-Y, R-O-S-H-E-L-L, and I'll see you on the 27th. Good night.
thanks again for tuning in to the Saturday Spotlight with your host, Jeffrey Rochelle.